Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's subject is prayer, striving together in prayer, Hebrews chapter 10. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers who were in a time of transition. The book of Hebrews is reminding these believers of the fact that no longer did they seek God through the structured system of the sacrifices or the Old Testament Levitical law, but that now there was a New Testament or a new covenant, a new way to approach God, and that way was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get a little hint about that truth in verse 19 of our text, which says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Now, we're going to study that word holiest in just a moment. We're going to see that it refers in the Jewish mind to the Holy of Holies, going into the holy place as the high priest would do once a year and sprinkle the blood on the Day of Atonement. And now the Hebrews were being told, you can come to the holy place, you can approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by way of introduction, two things we want to see this morning. First of all, Jesus is our access to prayer. Let's say that together. Jesus is our access to prayer. We can come before the throne of God because of what Jesus did. Now look in your notes at Hebrews 9 and verse 11. It says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now, The high priest would go in every year on the Day of Atonement, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. But Jesus died once and shed his blood once, and the Lamb of God, by sprinkling his blood, covered the sins of the whole world. How many of you are thankful that Jesus shed his blood for all of us? And so he entered in on our behalf. His blood was shed for you and for me. So Jesus becomes our access to prayer. And the Bible refers to him as our high priest. We can pray to the Father through the Son. We don't pray to a human priest. We don't pray through a pastor. But we pray through Jesus Christ, because Jesus is our access to prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here today because Jesus is our access to God and our access in prayer. So he's our access to prayer. Notice secondly, in this context of the book of Hebrews, by way of introduction, Jesus is our returning Savior. Jesus is our returning Savior. Now look at the verse there, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Jesus came the first time as the baby born in the manger, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross and shed his blood for our sin. How many of you are glad he came that very first time, right? But it says to those who look for him, he's going to come a second time. Now I realize that there are many false prophets today, and there will be many more. There will be many who make claims that they have no right making. The 89-year-old radio teacher Harold Camping made one that yesterday he said Jesus was going to come yesterday. And many of you may have heard about that on the news. And he made his prediction. But the Bible is very clear, Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. A sure sign of what I preached about two Sunday nights ago in the message, Three Preachers That Need to Quit, we talked about the sensationalist preacher, the preacher that's just kind of making up events to get a following or gain some money, and a sure sign is that they start trying to predict the exact day that Jesus is going to come. And what happens is the media mocks it, and those without Christ make fun of it. But let me encourage you with a quick thought this morning. Don't let the false prophets desensitize you to the truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour. But let us not be desensitized by the critics or by the media today to a truth. In fact, the Bible says when we take the Lord's table, as we did last Sunday night, that we do show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, the wafer and the juice are a picture to remind us of him until we see him again face to face. So Jesus is our access to prayer, and Jesus is our returning Savior. But until he comes, Jesus has a desire that sometimes just blows me away when I think about it. He has a desire to fellowship with me and with you. And when I read the book of Genesis, I understand that one of his primary purposes in creating us was for fellowship. He literally wants the fellowship of his people. And we know how he speaks to us through the Bible, for the Bible is a God-breathed book. But we also know that he wants us to speak to him, and that happens through prayer. And this morning we're going to learn that no matter where you might be this week, whether you're in D.C., San Diego, San Francisco, Michigan, wherever we might be locale-wise, we can be together in prayer for one another and to the Lord. That's what we're going to learn about today. Now notice first of all in the outline this morning, our access to prayer. We've already touched on this, but notice our access to prayer is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through a priest, not through a pastor, not through anyone else. Now, some of you may have grown up in a tradition where you would go and you would tell a man your sin, and that man would tell your sin to God for you, so-called. I remember when I was a young man living in the Orient, and I specifically remember in Korea visiting several Buddhist temples, and people would come to the Buddhist monks, and they would give the monks oranges and money and various physical things, and then the monks were supposed to go before Buddha and pound on the gourd, and they would chant prayers on behalf of the people that had requested prayers to be made. And the idea was that the Buddhist monk could get the prayers a little higher than the average Buddhist. And so it is in the Catholic tradition. Many of you would go as children if you were Catholics, and you would go into the confessional booth and tell the priest your sins. And when I was at St. Peter's Basilica a few years ago, I happened to pull out my little phone and take a little snapshot of something that is foreign to me as a person who's grown up in a Bible-believing church, and that was a man kneeling down at St. Peter's Basilica there and confessing his sin to the priest inside that little booth. And he was telling his bad doings to this particular priest, and they're confessing his sin. And again, the idea is that the guy in the booth can get the prayers up a little higher than the guy on his knees. But what we believe today is that because of Jesus, the ground is level at the cross, and that everybody here has access directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can pray to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, my prayers aren't going to get any higher than your prayers, because all of us must realize that through Christ we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, let's see what it says in the Bible about that great truth. Notice in Hebrews 4:13, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, why can I come boldly to a place that the high priest could only enter one time a year? Why can I enter boldly into the presence of God? Is it because I have a good Sunday school attendance pin? Is it because I was born a Baptist? Is it because of my relationships with other good Christians? No. I do not come boldly to talk to God because of anything to do with me. It is all because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ being applied to my account by the shedding of His blood. So our access is through the person. And when you receive Jesus Christ, then under the new covenant, the New Testament, you can enter boldly into the presence of God for prayer, because Jesus Christ has forgiven you and made the way possible for you. So it's through the person of Christ, and specifically, letter B, through the payment of Jesus Christ. Not just because of who He was, though He was the perfectly sinless Son of God, but because of what He did. Now look at the text again, Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, notice the next phrase, by the blood of Jesus. This preposition meaning because of or by way of the blood of Jesus. And so because Jesus shed His blood, now we can enter. You may have read in the scripture that when Jesus died upon the cross, the temple veil in Jerusalem was torn from the top to the bottom. God was saying, my Son has paid the price, His blood has been shed, and the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. And God was saying, you now have access to me because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. You don't have to come to the priest. You don't have to hope for the prayers of the Day of Atonement, but you can come boldly into the holy place, to the presence of God, because of what Jesus Christ did. And so the Bible says in verse 19 of Hebrews 10 that we enter into the holiest. Now again, the book of Hebrews is what we're studying this morning. The Hebrew mind would immediately understand the concept of the holiest. It would bring their mind back to the tabernacle of Exodus 30, or the temple that we read about as well in the Old Testament. And when you think about the pictures of this temple or tabernacle, you're reminded of the outer court, and then the priest would enter into the tabernacle, and through the tabernacle he would go in on the Day of Atonement to the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was this place known as the Ark of the Covenant. And on the top of it was the mercy seat. And this Day of Atonement was a day when the high priest would sprinkle the blood of an innocent lamb. And that Day of Atonement was the day when he would pray for the sins of Israel. But we understand now that Jesus Christ, according to John the Baptist, who said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus came to be the final sacrifice. And Jesus shed His blood on the cross as the Lamb of God. And when He did that, He made it possible for us to enter into the holy place, to commune with God, to pray with God, and to have have a relationship with God by way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we enter into the holiest because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the word in verse 19, by the blood, means that we have access because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, people try to have access to God in a lot of ways these days. In fact, maybe millions of ways could be mentioned. I think over in India, of those every 12 years, the ritual that millions of Hindus involve themselves in at the Ganges River. Every 12 years, they go to the city of Allahabad and they take a dip into this river because they believe every 12 years it has a special healing power. People have been crushed and some have even drowned in the rush to have the healing cleansing of this particular water. Now, the Hindus have it partly right. We all need cleansing, but there is only one way that we can be cleansed for sin, and that is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we sing songs like that, Pastor Chapel? Why are we so emphatic? Listen, friends, this morning, I don't write it, I just recite it. And Hebrews 9:22 says it very clearly that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sins. And so we thank God today, not in a boastful way because of us. To God be the glory. Jesus Christ made it all possible. And by the shedding of His blood, we have remission for our sin. Spurgeon said it this way, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Now think about that. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Listen, if you think you're going to go to heaven because you can clean yourself up, that's like trying to wash your car with a greasy rag. You scrub and scrub and scrub, and all you do is spread grease, because the Bible says all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. You see, I can't make myself holy enough to enter into the holy presence of God. But Jesus, the perfectly sinless Son of God, shed His blood, covers my sin with His blood, and invites me into the Holy of Holies because Jesus is holy, and I am in Him, and He is in me. And because of Jesus, I can enter the Holy of Holies. And so my access to prayer is through Jesus. Listen to me this morning. My boasting is in Jesus today, and yours should be too. Amen? And He gives us access to the Father. Notice, secondly, this morning, our attitude in prayer. Now, we realize doctrinally this morning that we have an access to God through Jesus. But notice, secondly, our attitude when we enter into the holy place of prayer. And I want to give you two or three thoughts here that are very important. First of all, God says, I want you to come to me boldly. When you come to me to talk to me, I don't want you to come feeling like you're an unworthy worm, a person that I don't want to hear from. Hebrews 9, and rather 10 and verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I want you, God says, to come boldly. Again, not because of your worthiness, but because of my Son's blood that was shed, come right on in boldly to speak to me. Now, the Lord has surely spoken to my heart with this word this week. To be bold means to have a freedom of speech. God says, I want you to speak to me. I don't want you to be timid. When you pray, whether it's to pray for physical needs or family needs, or whether it's to pray for wayward children or in the West Wing project or whatever we're doing as a church, God says, I want to hear from you. I want you to come boldly. I thank the Lord that I have a wife who's been my prayer partner and prayer warrior for over 30 years now. And one of the things that attracted me to Terry when we were beginning our courtship and dating time was that she had such a wonderful devotional notebook. And she would write down things she learned in the Bible, and then she wrote out her prayer requests. And I'm thankful that for many years I've been right up at the top of her prayer list. And my wife has a verse that is her life's verse, and it is Jeremiah 33:3, and it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I thank God for a wife who prays for her husband and prays for her children and prays for her grandchildren, prays for the ladies of the church. And she comes boldly with her prayer request and speaks to the Lord on the basis of His shed blood. And God wants us to come to Him boldly when we pray. Secondly, He wants us to come sincerely. God invites us to come to Him But he says, keep it real. Be sincere. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, Hebrews 10:22, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Notice that phrase there, a true heart. Sometimes we equate prayer with kind of like vain repetitions. We can even say the Lord's Prayer in that vein if we're not careful. Just saying words over and over again. Sometimes we equate prayer with real flowery, sanctimonious talk. Well, listen, prayer is not about impressing the guy next to you. Prayer is not about putting on a show or just saying how much you can quote. Prayer is about sincerely from your heart coming to the Lord and speaking to Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we may look at this briefly next week, but remember those words. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, the Bible says, and pray and seek my face. God says, look, when you come to see me, be real. Don't put on a sanctimonious bunch of flowery words to impress someone, but come to me with a sincere and a true heart. And He says, come to me with a pure conscience. Don't try to fluff me. Don't try to manipulate me. Notice that phrase there in verse 22. He says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The Bible speaks of a lot of different kinds of consciences. There's the good conscience in Acts chapter 20. There's the there is the defiled conscience that is spoken of. But this is the evil conscience. It's the conscience that has, because of the presence of sin, it's not hearing God very well. This particular conscience that is mentioned in this passage, this evil conscience, is the conscience of a man that surely has salvation, but because of the presence of sin, there's not the fellowship that should be there. And God says, now look, don't act like there's no sin in your life when you come to talk to me. Let's be real when we get together, and let's come together openly. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's say that together. Ready? Begin. If I regard the Lord... You ever have someone say, you know, the Bible's so hard to understand. It's not that hard to understand, folks. And sometimes people say, well, Pastor Chappell, I try to pray, but it doesn't feel like my prayers get above the ceiling. And I'll be honest with you, I've had days like that. I've had days where I'm talking to the Lord, but I don't feel the depth of the communion that I want to feel. And not in every case, but in some cases, what will help you, as it has helped me perhaps, has been this. When I just stop and say, Lord, I feel right now like our prayer time is not what it should be. Lord, if there's any iniquity in my heart, if there's any attitude towards Terry or the kids, or if there's anything in my heart towards someone else, please reveal that to me, Lord, because if there's something hindering our communication right now, I want to confess that. I want to forsake that. I need you, Lord. I need to talk to you, Lord. I need you to hear me, Lord. And Lord, I want to be sincere about this. I preach to many hundreds of people in each service who are very sincere, and then there are sometimes people that are just here. Sometimes young men who are more interested in the internet and their sin on the internet than the Bible. Sometimes people that can't wait to get out and go to the next party. They're here, but they're not sincerely here. Do you know what I'm talking about? And that's how it is with prayer. We're talking, but we're not sincerely talking to the Lord as we should. And God says, hey, I'm God. Don't come to me like you're going to fake me out. Come to me with sincerity.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.